We're doing Sefer Amidot. We're up to page Lamed Tet. The Magid Midivna had discussed that initially and innately we have good traits. That's part of the characteristics of a Jew. You're supposed to be Baishanim. Person who has shame, we do have a certain element of shame. When we do something wrong, we're embarrassed, or we have shame. And we're supposed to be Gomnei Chasadim. Intrinsically, we want to do kindness unto others. There are traits that are supposed to be part of being a Jew. And then comes the Torah and commands us these things. The Torah commands you, don't eat a mosquito, don't eat a spider, be kind to your fellow man. And sometimes, because you're commanded one way, you have an instinct, you want to do the other way. It's interesting, the Talmud says, does a person ever feel like eating a spider? So Talmud says it can happen that a person will say, gee, I wonder what it tastes like. But the Talmud says after he'll eat one or two, or he'll eat a few, he doesn't feel like eating anymore. It can happen that after a month or two or three, you'll forget, and then they'll say, I'd love to taste that again. Because when when you think something's special, so sometimes you feel like tasting it. So there are things that are actually disgusting, but a person can every so often say, gee, I feel like doing that. Would anyone want to drink a tequila? Tequila is a type of liquor that has a live worm inside. So the thought of it is disgusting to most people, yet some people say that's amazing. They told me now that they have drinks now where they put all kinds of bugs, and they say there are drinks that they put in urine from a cat, and that's supposed to be very good. So I used to be in Chinatown, and they used to sell the gonads of rhinoceros, and that was a delicacy that people would eat. So to us, it's not so palatable. But then other people eat a sweet bread, which is made from cow's brains. So people like that. How do you decide what's good or not good? I remember the first time they offered me tongue. I looked at the people, are you for real? Like you're eating that? And I see them licking their chops. but
just not to know
its
tongue.
Okay, no problem.
It's like if you tell kids to drink goat milk, and goat milk is actually much sweeter than cow milk. So if you tell them it's goat milk, they wouldn't touch it. But if you tell, just give it to them, they will touch it and you will like it more.
Okay. So the Magid Midivna is saying that when Hashem gave us more mitzvos, it was to our benefit, so that we would have more merits, we could accomplish more, we could do them even though it's not so easy for us. But then what happens is suddenly we become estranged. Suddenly, because we're commanded to do it, so we're not so interested in doing it. Even the things that should have been a core element of our personality, even those things become difficult for us. And that's what the Pasuk is saying, that after Hashem gave us so many mitzvos for our own benefit, so that even those things which we might have done on our own suddenly become a mitzvah, what happens is the exact opposite. That the people become estranged to Hashem and they stop doing even the most basic things. And how precious here is the rebuke of Moshe, our teacher, peace be upon him. Moshe says in the end of the Torah, they angered me. In their foolishness, they say, he is not the potent being. So Hashem says, so I'll pay them back. I'll say they're not a people, and I'll send a downtrodden nation to take them down. So in order to explain this pasuk, the Magid Midivna is quoting to us a very important Rambam. The Rambam, in his introduction to Pirkei Avot, speaks about free will. He writes a work called Shmona Prakim, and he speaks about what within the human persona can we expect to change. We're about to begin a tractate, Pirkei Avot, which speaks about self-improvement. So the Rambam says, what component in the human soul can change? The Rambam says, let's see, we eat like animals, we sleep like animals. There are components of human life which the human being seems to share with the animals. Can he affect those components of his being? Or can he only affect the parts that are human? So the Rambam, his first fundamental point in Shmona Prakim is that all five components of the soul are intimately intertwined. Do not think that the human being's mastication as he consumes food is synonymous with the animal's mastication. I am not a sophisticated animal. Even when I eat, my eating should reflect that I'm a human being. You know, Aristotle said the exact opposite. Aristotle used to say, when I sit down to eat, that's when I'm an animal. And he behaved in kind. When he'd sit down to eat, he would eat like an animal. And he would treat his food and the waiters and everyone around him like an animal. He'd say, now I'm an animal. Rambam comes and says a very important distinction. He says, no, part of being human is that every part of you has to be human. Even those parts where you might think I'm an animal. No. That's where you have to be human, because the Rambam's first fundamental point is that all parts of the soul are connected. And so they should all be affected by the spiritual part of the soul. Then the Rambam goes on and says, "Ha'hevdel ben ha-mitzvot ha-shimiyot v'en ha-mitzvot tzichliyot." The Rambam says, he asks a question. Just a second. He says, should a person say, I wish I could kill you. You know, I'd love to eat you for dinner. But there's a mitzvah that says I'm not allowed to. So let's sit down and learn. We could be friends. I'm not going to kill you today. Is that good? Because a person says, look, I took control of myself. I've overcome my desires. Do you say that's an admirable person?
No.
What about...
If it's recalling him, then yeah, if he's not...
Okay, good for him. He's not killing today. But what about a person that says, I wish I could eat pig, but the Torah says I can't, so I won't. How do you discern, when do we say... The correct, honest approach says, I wish I could, but the Torah says not. And when do you say, it's much better to be a person who says, I wouldn't want to do that anyway. So the Rambam makes a distinction. He says, there are mitzvot shimiyot. There are mitzvot that you wouldn't logically do. You're only doing it because you obey the commandment of the Torah. Shim'i comes from the word lishmoa, to obey, to listen to. So he says, there are mitzvot that are shimiyot. There's nothing that the human logic would say to guide us down that path. Would human logic commit us to eating kosher? Why can't I eat meat and milk together? So there are mitzvot that logic does not dictate. There are statutes. The Torah says it. I do it. So there's the mitzvot shimiyot, mitzvot where I obey, even though I don't understand. And then mitzvot sichliyot, mitzvot that logic says you should do that. Logic dictates you shouldn't steal, you shouldn't kill. Person's logic should support these mitzvot. A person should be able to understand that these mitzvot are a positive way of leading life. A person should get there. The human component within us should guide us down that path. Our conscience, our logic, should bring us to a point where those logical mitzvot resonate with us. And so when we look at those mitzvot, we admire a person who says, I don't want to kill. Torah commanded me not to kill, but I don't want to kill. We look much more fondly about such a person. A person that says, I don't want to steal. Torah commands me not to steal. I won't steal. I want to be a nice, kind person, and I'm going to be. That, says the Rambam, is better. When it comes to the mitzvot that are logical, we admire a person who says, my nature would also guide me down that path, but the Torah says it. I'm saying if our nature, if our logic dictates that trait, so then we admire someone who has it innate. Yeah, if you could figure out this mitzvah, you could figure out that it's a nice thing to visit the sick. And then you have a person who comes and says, I didn't know it was a mitzvah. I did it because it's a nice thing to do. You say, okay, good for you. No, I'm saying the Rambam distinguishes between two types of mitzvot. The logical mitzvot, a person should feel like I want to do it even if the Torah didn't tell me to. And I would do it even if the Torah didn't tell me to. The Torah told me, I'm doing it. Omnama mitzvot ha-shimiyot, but what about the mitzvot that I have no logic for? Yekeyem mitzat shuev d'Hashem itbach. There I'm only doing it because Hashem said so. Sharken amu chazal, that's why our sages said, al yomar adam yefshi b'fsach hazir. A person should not say, I don't want to eat pig. I'm not interested. Aval efshi, what a person should say, the Talmud says, is, I would love to eat pig. But what can I do? God told me not to. So the Rambam says, when we look at the mitzvot that we have no logical reasoning behind them, there the correct approach is, I'd love to do that. What can I do? The Torah told me not to. I told you guys the story. A couple came, and the husband said, "Rabbi, I want you to talk to my wife. She says she doesn't like the laws of family purity, and I want her to connect to them spiritually, and she should love the fact that we're prohibited for a large part of the month, and we only have the other part of the month permitted." And then he sits there in silence, looking at his wife with this look that says, "I told you so," and he's waiting for me to tell her something. And I said, "You know, I'm very sorry, but I can't tell her that, because the Rambam says the exact opposite. The Rambam says, mitzvot that our own logic would not dictate, then the natural approach a human being should take is, I wish I didn't have to do this, but Hashem told me to, so I'm going to do it. So if your wife says she'd much rather not have the laws of family purity, the Rambam sides with her. We don't have a logical reason. We have all kinds of nice explanations, but human logic would dictate you want to be permissible, you want to be with your wife all month long. Comes the Torah and says, no, you got to take a break. The second she has her onset, you don't touch her, you guys separate your beds, and now until her period ends, and then you count another 7 clean days. Who wants that? Torah told me to do it. I do it. So if your wife says that she doesn't connect to it, what's she really saying? I wish I didn't have to. Well, the Rambam says that's right. That's the way a human being should talk. My human nature wants differently. Hashem told me this way, so I'm doing what Hashem told me.
Matthew, like, I'm understanding like, why you can't just say that come up with like, a different reason, like not a different reason, but a different way to connect.
You could connect it. You could see the value in it. You could say nice things about it. But at the end of the day, if the Torah didn't tell you to do it, would you do it? Our sages didn't say that a person should say, if it were up to me, I would steal or kill, because when it comes to mitzvot that logic dictates, then the correct thing, even without Torah, is that a person should say, I'm not going to steal, I'm not going to lie, even if I'm not commanded about them, just because I'm human. So a person has to think about his behavior and choose a correct behavior. It's the right thing to be a kind person. To have compassion about Hashem's creatures. To be a modest person. To be a patient person. You know, all over the world, people value these traits. A person shouldn't steal. A person shouldn't withhold wages. A person shouldn't kill. And all other traits of this kind. So that's the famous distinction the Rambam makes between two types of mitzvot. The mitzvot that our logic can understand, that we could deduce on our own. There a person should say, I'm happy doing the way the Torah says, and even without the Torah, I wish I could believe that I would live up to that ideal. Then you have mitzvot which our logic does not deduce. So there a person should say, if it weren't for the Torah, I don't think I would do this. And now that the Torah prohibited it, what can I do? I listen to the Torah, but it's not that I wouldn't like it. I'd love to have a cheeseburger. Never in my life had a cheeseburger. Never. Never. I was born Orthodox. I grew up Orthodox. Never had a cheeseburger. Okay. I'll tell you honestly, I'm not sitting here salivating for a cheeseburger. Maybe it's because I never had one, right?
Yeah.
Never had
bacon cheeseburger.
Never had bacon at all. Okay. Say that. But technically, the approach should be, if I could, I would. Torah prohibits it, so I don't. Okay, so he's in the middle of a thought. We'll pick up here, Bezachim, tomorrow.